This story was in the winter 2006 edition of Lowlands. This is Scottish Hospitality, Part 1. "They're coming," Granda said, and he took a help of scalding tea. Usually he waved his bonnet out to cool it, but he was that excited he forgot. He handed the airmail letter he'd been reading to Granny. "They're coming in May," she said, looking at the calendar that hung on the back of the kitchen door, and she reached out of the table to give the letter to Mam, who said quietly, "They're coming for 2 weeks." When Dad came for the fishing at the west coast at the weekend, he said, "Ach, there were folk. They can bide as long as they like." And so it was arranged that Canadian cousin Wayne and his wife Sybil would come for a holiday in the spring of 1961. You never saw the elaborate preparations for the visit. Granda white washed the outside of the house and painted the gutters and downspouts a shiny black. Granny and Mam washed all the bedding and hung it out at the head of the brae. There was a gwee draught, and the sheets and blankets were all up at dry by dinner time. Harry Reid the painter came over for Buckpool and papered the hale house. Every press was teamed out and nothing was washed or polished afore being put in back. Dad had made arrangements to bide at home for the 2 weeks of the visit, even though it meant finning a replacement crew member and lost wages. I had to spear the afternoon after school for the day that Sybil and Wayne were to arrive. They were coming on the afternoon train for Aberdeen, and we all walked to the station in our Sunday clothes to meet them. Granny was wearing the black straw hat with a black silk rose on it that she'd bought for Grace Kelly's wedding in 1956. A neighbour had speared in to watch the ceremony on a new telly, and Granny had said she couldn't have gang to a wedding without a new hat. So she hid it on along with her best beanie when we watched Grace Kelly become Princess Grace. We lined up on the station platform as the train pulled in. Dad roared a welcome at Wayne. "Fit like, Malone!" All the time shaking his hand as if he'd shuck it off. "Hi, you guys," was Sybil's greeting, afore turning round to make sure all their luggage was off the train. "We're nae guys, we're folk," I responded and got the look for Mam. As Dad and Granda started to gather up the luggage, Mam looked on black affronted, because nobody had thought to order a taxi. And here was a lot mair luggage than Dad's sea buggy. "Ach, it's nae far," Dad said, "and you've been sitting a hale day on the train, eh? The walk home will make you swack." And we all carried something and we struggled, stopping every 2 or 3 minutes to change hands and shift the weight. Sybil's black stiletto heels slip out on the cobblestones. "That's feel sheen you've won, McQuine. You'll brack your leg." Dad was at least observant, if nae sympathetic. The wind for the Norart filled to our visitors' nostrils with the smells of working fish and port. Dad painted out the sacks, the gutting and curing yards, brine for the hearing barrels, and the kippering sheds. Larrys belching diesel smoke passed, dripping melting ice for their loads of fish boxes. Neither Wayne nor Sybil could make out what Dad was saying, and Sybil was sair trachled. The wind nae only damaged her lockhart boof and hairdo, but it blew her navy blue polka dot sticky out frock right out her head, and neither she nor anybody else had a free hand to help her. Dad's explanation, "Ach, it's the gab am I. What can you expect this time of year?" was nae consolation. "That's tapas. See the boat I are ready for lunch and we are the fluggies on't." Dad pinted back to Tubby Shipyard as we dirted up the Bowlam Green Brae, but Sybil and Wayne didna respond. Buffeted by the strong wine that got our ain water and our noses dreep, we all followed when nae soon a hen Dad is the latest to the ancestral seat in the cart bow.